the, let's say, the sukriti or the karma to receive that, then it will be fulfilled. But still, we want to raise arm, but it's only we wanted to. But that arms get raised, because you can't raise it in a way that doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? So there's certain ways the arm bends. You know, you can bend it this way, you can't bend it the other way. So your options are controlled by the Lord. Then He sanctions it, then the material energy through the modes make it happen. You understand? So your involvement is your desire. So now the desire can be independent from the Lord, so we feel like I'm the controller, or that desire can be in connection with the Lord, then we become the instrument. But it doesn't necessarily mean the desire changes.
What about those actions that go against what Krishna wants? But like, if Krishna gives this
means the actions that go against what Krishna wants, but still, your performance of the action still has to be within the purview of how it's done. You know what I'm saying? Like let's say, what would be an example? Someone wants to eat something that's not bona fide, okay? But what are their options for eating it? And they rub it on the top of their head, or roll around in it, or, you know, how you say, spread it out on the table and roll up a dollar bill and snort it, or, you know what I'm saying? What are the options? They have to put it in their mouth. They have to chew it. They have to swallow it. You know, it has to be cooked. It has to, you know, so many things that are there that are still regulated by the Lord, so they still have to follow His rules. But they're just not following those rules for His satisfaction. Because the principle is eating. But they've decided to eat something that, you know, He doesn't appreciate being eaten. But you still have to follow the rules of eating to eat it. So He's still in control. But you'll get the reaction for what you've eaten. You understand? If you follow the rules, you'll get your temporary benefit. But if you don't follow the rules, you won't get any benefit. Right?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj, concerning the differentiating between platforms of dharma and niti, a couple examples, like if somebody is receiving guests, and one person may understand that everybody's spirit so like everybody should be received nicely, but some other may be receiving only persons who he considers important, like a big donators or something.
It means you're talking about the devotee of the temple, devotee.
Yeah.
Okay, so means the devotee means according to nature you deal. And so, and then within nature there's going to be consciousness, right? So in the conditioned state, one's going to be more comfortable, or you could say more comfortable, more expert, more efficient in working in a particular area. Right, but just because he works in that area, that's not actually the point. The point is it connected to Krishna, right? So that's why Varnashram is there, because Varnashram then establishes what is the nature of the person, how they would be most efficiently engaged. But Daiva Varnashram means then in that engagement, it's connected to the Lord. Otherwise, Varnashram simply means you're engaged in that position according to your nature. The Daiva Varnashram means that you're Krishna conscious in that you see the connection with the Lord. So you see your conditioned nature, how to engage it, and see how to engage that conditioned nature in the Lord's service. So that science, that's Daiva Varnashram. So that's what like Swayambhuva Man is talking about here. Right? These are actually the principles in which Daiva Varnashram work. Right? So does that make sense? Otherwise, if you still think I'm manipulating the material energy and getting the results and I'm giving it to Krishna, that's you're engaging it, but it's not actually the Daiva Varnashram system. You're engaging Varnashram in Krishna's service. But Daiva Varnashram means the consciousness of Krishna being the controller and I'm the servant, I'm the instrument. So then performing the activities according to your nature, that's Daiva Varnashram. You understand? But the other one is very favorable, so it's friendly. So they work together. But if you forget and just act according to your nature, not connected to the Lord, then you're not working with Daiva Varnasha. So that's the difficulty. You know, some talk, well, I just engage in Krishna's service and don't acknowledge nature. And others acknowledge nature, but not necessarily that connection to the Lord. Right? So then there's always this difference of opinion on the importance or non-importance of Varnasha. Right? So therefore, someone's going to be involved in preaching activities that he's going to feel comfortable with according to their nature. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, someone likes to work with, you know, just the youth. Someone likes to work with, you know, college people. Someone likes to work with academics. Someone else likes to work with, you know, people in positions or wealth. You know what I'm saying? Someone, you know, likes to work in the family, you know, in family, community. So it's... wherever they're comfortable working, then that should be done. So it's not a problem with that. The problem is it connected to Krishna? That's the point. Not that, oh, he works with this one or not. He's not equal minded, he's bodily conscious. No, that's not the point. You know, it's like, let us say, okay, all those who, you know, want to, you know, do this particular activity, stand over here, and then if you walk over there, then you're actually conscious that your body's over there, so are you bodily conscious? Right? I just heard it, yeah. Does that make sense? So, the point is, bodily conscious means you don't see the engagement of the body in connection to Krishna. Right? But to say that if you're aware of the body, that's bodily conscious, that means you don't understand the philosophy. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like Bangladesh at one time put out that, you know, in the preaching here, somehow the local people are very impressed that those who are not from, you know, Bengal or India come and preach there. So they put out a request for, you know, devotees that are, you know, obviously not, you know, how you say, Indian, would come and preach there, because if they're giving a lecture, thousands come out, and if they're not, then less people come out. And so then, from around the world, you know, various, how you say, well-meaning but uninformed persons then would say, oh, this is just bodily consciousness. Why are you worried what their body is? You know, like that. Oh, saying they're Westerners, so they come and preach. This is bodily, like, why do we care, you know, if they're bodily conscious? Why should we preach to these people? You know, that's, if you're not going to preach, if you're only going to preach to people who are God conscious, then what's the meaning? You know what I'm saying? And the point is that it's connected to Krishna, because if the Westerner comes there, then they're inspired to go to them and hear about Krishna. So what's the problem? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. So they're missing the point, because they think if it's connected to the body, that's bodily conscious. No, if it's not connected to Krishna, that's bodily conscious.
It's preaching about his body.
Yeah, no, it's preaching about his body. Yes, that's another. Generally, you don't see that so much, but sometimes you do. Does that make sense? So, if it's connected to the Lord, it's not a problem. If it's not connected to the Lord, it's a problem. Okay? You had a question? Yes.
How to get rid of this controlling tendency?
How to get rid of this controlling tendency?
Of course, theoretically, but sometimes we have this tendency to control the small things, especially when something goes wrong, people want to return to Vaishnava. Mm-hmm.
Change it to the real need to control generally comes from an element of security, So if one is secure, then there's less need to control beyond what would be natural for your position. You understand? The living entity will be engaged. So engaging the senses, that's not the problem. The problem is where you try to engage your senses where other people's senses should be engaged. You understand? It means, let's say there's six offerings in a day and you're supposed to do one and others do the others, but you come in and try to do theirs. That's where the problem is, that you cook, you do your offering and cook and do everything. That's not the problem. Right? The problem is that where you're engaged in activities that's outside your duties. You know what I'm saying? So, does that make sense? Because if you analyze, then all those places where the desire for control is a problem because they're outside your duties. Right? Does that make sense? You know, you try to control someone else's family, or it's not your duty. They already have their controllers. You know what I'm saying? So if one's secure, then one is comfortable in the position one's already in. So then it works nicely. If one's not secure, then one tries to go beyond that. So that's why it's important to see that one's situation works for your needs. Right? So that's why in the Vedic culture, then the whole element of seeing that everyone's protected and properly situated is important, because then it'll be easy for them to concentrate on their own duties. Because if one feels I'm not getting enough in there, one wants to get from everywhere. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's all. Is that okay? Yeah. You have to think about it a bit. Okay, just 1 second. Okay, from Los Angeles. It is easy to say to leave up to Krishna, but it's difficult to get out of Maya and truly believe in it. As an average person, what can we do to develop firm faith? So basically, this comes from association, right? Association of the devotees is what makes things progress, right? Because we hear about it, but it's in the association of devotees that we see it happening, or we hear about it more and we start to contemplate it. So we hear, then we contemplate. After we contemplate, then we try to apply. Right? So it's by practice of application, then it starts to work for us. But it's understood, it may not work in the beginning. And probably gives the example of the child. They try to walk, but they don't do such a great job. You know, it's not like the first time he stands up, then you contact the Olympic, you know, how you say, committee about, you know, that we're going to do this, what do you call it, the decathlon, right? You know, so it's just practice. And with practice, with time, then they become good. So that's so anybody can do that. Means these other things are to add. It's just another way to approach it, get at it through the intelligence. Because when the mind is too overwhelmed with emotion, then you try to get at it with intelligence. But when getting at it with intelligence, you have to use not intelligence to get something done that you want. You have to deal on the absolute platform. Right? This is, if you understand this principle, this will work very well. If you're dealing with an overly emotional situation, then you use intelligence, but not intelligence to how to cleverly get done what you want to get done. No, it means intelligence means where you're directly presenting the philosophy free from any attachment to the result. That gets the result, because it's universal. So it's not a problem there. It's as soon as you add in your emotion, then it's your emotion opposing their emotion, that's a problem. Okay. Often people say, this is from Kolkata, often people say everything is happening by Lord's will, but when people do wrong things against human well-beings, then how can we describe that? Is Lord's will meaning that he's created the situation, and so then you do proper activity, you get a proper result. You do an improper activity, you don't get a proper result. So if somebody's not getting a proper result, it simply means they're getting the response to their previous improper activity. Right? But the point is the result, because of the improper, is going to be in the same field. You've bothered someone else, so you will be bothered. So bothering people is not right. Right? But it doesn't mean, the point is if you've been bothered, then it means if you're bothering, then the natural equal response is to get bothered, right? Isn't that Newton's third law, right? So does that make sense?
Yeah.
What?
How do you know if they're starting it first?
It doesn't matter if they're starting it, they're just taking part in it. So that you're getting it, they're only an instrument. That they're interested to take part in it, that's their problem. You understand? In other words, they took part in it, that's their problem, not your problem. So they'll get the reaction for it. You're already gotten the reaction from your previously taking part in it. You understand? So you know, in other words, you hit, you know, person A hits person B, okay? So then person B hits person A back. So you would say that that's just, right? But you hit him, that's your problem. That he hit you, that's not your problem. You're being hit, but that's the reaction of your hitting, right? But his reaction for hitting you is not your concern. So you don't have to be the one that's trying to correct him. You understand? Because that's his problem. Right? Your problem is that you've hit him. So hitting people's not good. Let's take that in that case. So he's hitting someone. That's not good. So that's between him and the modes of nature. So you don't have to be the one to correct him. You understand?
One last question. I hit him.
Right.
His reaction is to hit me back. But if he hasn't hit me before, how is that reaction his?
No, but you know, the problem's not here is on why would he hit you back if you hit him. The problem is why would you hit him if he didn't hit you first?
Couldn't you just bundle that up into karma? It's his karma for something.
You could, but the point is you're taking part in it. You don't have to take part in it. It's his karma to get hit. You don't have to be the one. He will get hit, but you don't have to be the one to do it. You understand?
I don't know if you're meant to be.
The point is you're never actually, it's not important actually that you hit him unless it's your duty. Right? Yeah. Yeah, but the point is you can only be an instrument if it's your duty. It means then it'd be positive. It means you're the instrument and you're not supposed to hit him, but he's supposed to be hit. So he will get hit, and you were the instrument for it, like that. But it doesn't mean that it was you won't get the reaction for being the instrument. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So you don't have to worry about if he's starting it or if it's there. Because we're saying, well, if he starts it, that means I didn't deserve it, and he started it anyway. But we generally look at it, I deserved it anyway, because we've been here long enough. You know, it's like the, what do you call it, you know, the typical thing of, you know, the parent punishes the child and then says, no, but I didn't do that. It says, okay, maybe it didn't, but this is for all the times, you know, you didn't get caught, right? You know, so then you can't say anything. It's okay, yeah. Yes?
So Maharaj, how is this being tied off in the concept of self-defense?
Self-defense. The point is...
Well, let me just develop a little bit. I understand how it does that. Fantastic, you know, but to apply that in, you know, in the living today, Kali Yoga is kind of hard. So
no, but why is it hard?
How much Kali does that?
No, but why is it hard?
Well, let's say somebody, you know, is, you know, somehow is causing you some distress. You take it.
But what's why is it hard to take?
It's causing disruption.
But was that causing a disruption in Haridas Thakur's activities?
Huh? How was that?
Was it causing a disruption to Haridas Thakur's activities?
Well, I feel that to come to this level of tolerance.
No, don't change. You're adjusting the point. What is Haridas Thakur's service? What does he do? He chants. So, does them beating him in the marketplace get in the way of his chanting?
Yeah. I would say it was kind of hard to chant while being,
Not necessarily, because one is a distressed physician, one remembers the Lord. So for him who's not on the bodily platform, it's not a disturbance to his service. You understand? So therefore, what does it matter?
Okay, let me rephrase the question.
No,
about self-defense, but those are not completely in the outside the body platform.
Okay, now the point is about what is the problem? Okay, let us just as a random example take yourself, okay, So, here, now what would be the problem with you being beaten? Okay, you don't like it. Okay, why don't you like it? Because there's pain, okay, and you feel you're the body, so therefore it's a problem. Okay, so therefore then you would like to stop, but why do you need to stop that pain?
Well,
is it just that you like it or don't like it enough? Wouldn't you like to have, $1 billion? So is that enough? Is that enough? I would like to have all the money of the world, so where is it? Is that enough? Right? So just that you don't want it to happen, is that enough? You understand? The pain, yeah. Because we're taking one thing at a time. But why do you have to defend yourself? Why is it that the pain... No, but what's the point? No, I'm not saying you shouldn't. See, the thing is we're trying to analyze why you have to stop it simply based on the pain. What happens when you have pain? Do you do your service? Are you able to remember Krishna? All these. Okay, so there's the thing. Now you, in your situation, happen to be a family person. Okay, so now if they beat you up and then throw you in the river, then are you going to be able to perform your duties of taking care of your family? Very difficult, right? So, like that means you can talk to all the algae sitting at the bottom of the Jalangi, maybe, but, other than that, you wouldn't be able to do much, right? Say hi to the fishers, maybe, or something like that. So therefore, to perform your duty, therefore, there's a need to defend yourself so you can perform that duty. But But Haridas Thakur, he doesn't have any engagement in the world, so therefore, if they want to beat him or not, it doesn't really matter to him. So the point of elevation of Haridas Thakur is not his tolerance of their beating, but it's his consciousness that would allow for that situation. You understand? So we can see the symptom of his tolerance, but actually it's his consciousness that affords him that tolerance. That's the real point. So the consciousness of why you defend yourself is because you have responsibilities to take care of, and they're getting in the way of your service. So you, as an instrument to defend yourself so you can perform your service, you do your best. If you're successful, then you take care of your family. If you're not successful, then you won't. You know what I'm saying? But you, in other words, you're engaged in your service. So self-defense is there because that's your duty. So you're supposed to take part in that. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, because a subordinate is affected, then you have to take part. Because
subordinates.
Yeah.
Because you're responsible for them. So if they beat each other up, then they don't do so well doing their service and their consciousness that they would do that. So you stop that because it's your duty to see that they're in the right consciousness. So the right consciousness that would reflect in proper activity. Right? So that they're beating each other up means wrong activity, so wrong consciousness. Does that make sense? And you're responsible for their consciousness, right? You have a child to take them back to Godhead, so that means you're responsible for the consciousness. So that consciousness then is by the conditioned living entity very dependent upon the gross and subtle bodies. So you take care of them nicely. So physically they're taken care of, emotionally, intellectually they're developed like that. They feel security, they have an identity. And so then they can function nicely, but the whole purpose is to develop the consciousness. Does that make sense? So the consciousness is elevated. So when things go wrong in the lower platforms, they're only disturbance in as much as they disturb the higher. But
they
have their service that they're dealing with you. So if you have some cows in the Goshal and they start fighting, then you try to work it out so they don't fight. I mean, you mean animals if somebody's attacking an animal, not just another animal. If it's within your realm or your scope, then you do. Okay.
He tolerates
everything because of the consciousness. It doesn't, you know, because the point is what's supposed to happen will happen, so you can get involved or not. But the point is if there's certain environments that you would like to be involved in, then you have to be engaged in those environments. You know what I'm saying? Because if it means, in other words, if dealing with a family is important to you, therefore you deal. But if not being involved in family, that's not important. Therefore, you don't have to do things that would cultivate it. Does that make sense? You know. But if you're responsible, if you're already in, this is a matter of a choice whether you get involved or not, or whether this is time. The Avantipur Brahman, then it's time. So the time has come for him not to be involved, right? So then he cannot be involved, and he will move out. Otherwise, if he didn't move out, then that would be that, what is it, fourth canto, where they're talking about the forest of material enjoyment and about, you know, the old guy on the deathbed and all the relatives around, and then it goes into what each one's thinking, you know, that one, and then the Yamadutas come, and that whole definition. So that's where the time came and he didn't leave, you know, so everyone's, you know, wondering when he's going to be dead anyway. So if he leaves, then, you know, the difference is that you decided when you're going to be socially dead, otherwise they're just wishing for it. You know, but the difference is then they have the sense of control. Because if you're there, they can wish you're dead. But if you're gone, they can't wish you're dead. So who's in control, right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so... Yeah. So, oh, okay, yeah, that's right. From Bhagavad Gita, okay. Does that work or it doesn't work?
Speak loud.
Yes.
In 1426, you know, Krishna says that he talks about Brahman, like attaining the Brahman platform. And also again in 1854, he also talks about attaining the Brahman platform, and he says that if we come to a certain level, like preferably on Nista, and that's what he's like giving to the living entity. So I feel that like it's not something to look forward to, because that's not what Prabhupada is teaching us. I mean Prabhupada is teaching us something higher to attain Brahman, Bhagavan realization. Brahma-bhuta.
It's Brahma-bhuta is a situation. It's a perspective. It's a level of consciousness. Now, what you do with that, it's just like you had a conditioned nature, right? Now, what's the problem in the conditioned nature? Does that make sense? What's the actual problem? You know what I'm saying? Is the problem that one's from a particular country or a particular family? You know, or, you know, is that the problem? So what's the real problem? No, not a matter of what you're saying. We're getting to what you're saying. What's the actual problem in you being born in a particular country, in a particular family? What's the real problem? We identify with it. You understand? Now, if you take that nature you have and engage that in Krishna's service, is it a problem? No, it's the process. You understand? Does that make sense? So you're situated in a particular place within the material manifestation, and you engage that situation in the Lord's service. So isn't that what the, you know, third, fourth, and fifth chapters are talking about? Right? So that's the comment, that's Buddhi Yoga. No? Yes? No? Not, we're getting to your question, but it means this point, is it right? Is your scarf pink? Okay, so that's what we're looking for, right? If it's true, then you say yes. If it's not true, don't worry about the question. We're getting there. Right? So now, being situated on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, that's just another situation. So if a lower situation, so Brahma-Bhuta platform would be higher than the material condition platform, right? Yes. So if engaging the lower condition platform in the Lord's service is not a problem, it's glorious, it's called Buddha Yoga, why wouldn't engaging the platform of being on Brahma-Bhuta level of consciousness in Krishna's service, why wouldn't that be better? You understand? Because what's the point? It's engaged in Krishna's service. Krishna never says, be on the Brahman platform and that's it. His point, what does Brahman platform mean? What is the problem here with Dhruva Maharaj? He's thinking it's him as a king, him as the brother of Uttama, and the Yakshas as the killers of his brother. So is that, you know, it's on the bodily platform. What is Swayambhuva Manu preaching here? He's preaching how the Lord is pervading everything through his quality as Brahman. And to be able to see that takes you off the bodily platform. Right? The next step, once you do that, is then being off the bodily platform, how do I then engage in Krishna's service? You know what I'm saying? Because then there's no contamination in the service. Because otherwise, below that platform, then there's always going to be the element of one's conditioned nature. So there may be some tinge of karma and jnana. Doesn't have to be, but there may be. But on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, you don't have that problem. Because the terms use Brahma-Bhuta, right? Brahma-Bhuta means you're liberated and you understand your relation to Krishna as a servant. Mukti means you only understand that I am Brahman. There's no understanding of Godhead. You understand? So when the term Brahma-Bhuta is used, that means the devotee on the platform of liberation. Now, is there any problem in the platform of Bhava Bhakti? No. So what is the situation of the soul in Bhava Bhakti, according to what we've just been discussing? Are they liberated or not? They're liberated. So that's the platform of Brahma-Bhuta. So that's not a problem. So why is it when Krishna says, come to that platform, and then progress further, why do we see this as a problem? No, dry philosophy is mukti, not Brahma-Bhuta is not dry philosophy. It's just like this. Okay, let us say I have a burger. Okay? Burger means there's two pieces of bread, but they're not from slices off of a loaf, they're from a bun. Right? Because if it's from a loaf, it's called a sandwich. Okay? So just for ease here, we're using a burger as opposed to a sandwich. Okay? No. We're talking burger. Right? Just generic burger. Burger means two pieces of bread with something in between. Right? Now, if that burger has a veggie patty in between, or another burger doesn't and has non-veg in between, what's the problem? Is the burger the problem, or is the non-veg patty a problem? Yes, that's the problem. So the point is, Brahma-Bhuta is not the problem. The problem is what you do with it. You understand? Brahma-bhuta is a situation. You walk into a kitchen. Is there a problem? No. When does the problem start? Okay, well, that's a problem in the situation. Let's say it's a perfect kitchen. You know, it's a kitchen in the Burj Al Arab. Okay? Right, you're not going to get better than that, right? You know, unless somebody's private, you know, kitchen. Okay, so you walk into there. Where does the problem begin? There's nothing wrong with that kitchen. Every ingredient you want, everything's there. Everything works perfectly. When does the problem begin? Okay, that will be the ultimate thing. But it only begins at the point of cooking. If you see consciousness, you see the kitchen in connection with yourself, it's a problem. See a connection with Krishna, it's not a problem. So when you cook, so the kitchen's not the problem, the cooking's not the problem, it's the consciousness is the problem. So therefore, Brahma-bhuta is not the problem. The problem is if it's not seen in connection with the Lord. That's the problem. Brahma-bhuta simply means that you see everything in connection with Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Why is this working? This is dead matter. Why does it work? Okay, there's a living entity that works at talking, but why does it go through it? Why does it function? Does it function because of the material potency? Or does it function because of the Lord's potency? The Lord's potency. So seeing that, that's the Brahman platform. Understanding how the Lord makes all this work. That's Brahman platform. We're not talking about the Mayavadi's Brahman platform. We're talking about the actual Brahman platform. Because Brahman means it exists. It's what you do with it, that's the difference. You know what I'm saying? Is that okay? Okay. We have to end here. Actually, go.